Telegraph had a story about Michelle and Tony Meadows of Southport, England. They borrowed $9,000 on 35% annual interest. Quite high. Of course, they arrearred in their payments and were not able to pay anymore. And they were charged in compound interest $603,000 if they were not able to pay or make payments on $9,000 loan. How would they be able to pay $600,000? They were taken to court, of course, by London North Securities Finance Company. But to their amazement, the judge, Nigel Howard, at Liverpool County Court, canceled the entire debt. He said, where the rate concerned is as high as 34.9%, it seems to me that the combination of factors is so potentially exorbitant that it is grossly so and does grossly contravene the ordinary principles of fair dealing. He added, this is one of the few credit bargains which is extortionate. The reality of the situation is that the Meadows were very obviously desperate, as many people who seek non-status loans are. The application of compound interest made the agreement like swimming against the tide that was coming in faster than the Meadows could swim. The agreement is bad and cannot be cured, and that is the end. The couple's barrister, Paul Brandt, said the decision would be welcome news to other people in serious debt. This is a lifeline for borrowers who feel there is no hope. How would you like to take your debts to that judge? But we have similar cancellation of debt in the Bible. Isaiah is called the gospel prophet because of the content of the book of Isaiah from chapter 40 to the end of the Bible, chapter 66. These chapters stand in sharp contrast with the preceding chapters that are talking about God's people's sins and the punishment that God would inflict on his people for their sins. But from chapter 40, the mood of prophet's writing changes and suddenly becomes more compassionate, more tender, more sensitive. And in Isaiah 41 and 2, we read, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In the Old Testament times, to give someone the double means to cancel one's debt. There are two more places in the Bible that help us to understand that concept. Isaiah 61:7 says, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be their land. Zechariah 9:12 says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. So what is this double? In the Old Testament times, if an Israelite owed a large sum of money and was unable to pay, he would most likely have to turn his home over to his creditor. He would then have to take his family and his personal possessions, his belongings, and leave the property to a life of uncertainty. Then he would have to take everything that he inherited from his ancestors and deal with it in his own way, on his own. But the creditor would come and nail to the front door of his house a document listing all his debts, everything he owes, and everybody in the community, his neighbors, even children, would be able to come and read all his past, whatever he owes, all his debt. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be if you lost your house, was not able to pay, make your payments, and the bank would repossess it and come to you at the front of your door and put a document listing all your debts, all your credit cards purchases that you were not able to pay, everything that you borrowed and still owe to them. How embarrassing it will look like. I thought about it, and I might not care very much about other neighbors, but I have members of our church living across the street. And I thought that would be really embarrassing. And today, some people don't really care. I heard even some people bragging that they lost their house, and if in fact the government even paid them to get out of their house. But in ancient Israel, their property did not belong to the bank. You see, they inherited it from the times when they came to the promised land, and it was divided among the tribes. And every person, every family in the tribe received something, their portion, that they were passing on from generation to generation. And just imagine if someone lost their property. It wasn't bad only for them. It was bad for future generations. They lost it forever. But there were only two ways in which the poor debtor could get his property back and have his house returned to him. One was a result of a jubilee. Possessions that were taken would be returned and the debts would be forgiven. Leviticus 25:10, we read, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possessions, and each of you shall return to his family." What would you do if you knew that your debts will be forgiven? Well, you would borrow more, right? But just imagine that you lost your house right after the year of Jubilee. Then you would have to wait for 49 years for your property to be returned to you and your debt to be forgiven. By that time, you might not be even alive. But there is another way in which the property could be returned to the man. A kinsman or a friend could pay the debt. After the kinsman or a friend had paid the debt, he would go up to the front of the house and would fold the document in half and put it back on the door as an evidence and as a demonstration to the whole community and to this poor debtor that his debts were paid in full and that his debts are forgiven. And now the poor man is free to return back to his house and bring his family back and get all his possessions back. So when God here in Isaiah says, "I have given them the double," it means I have canceled their debt of sin. I have covered up their trespasses. I have forgiven them, and I'm treating them as they have never sinned. I did some research, and I found out that this doubling custom in Jewish communities is still being practiced. It is considered an honor for a wealthy Jew to seek the ways to help some of his poor compatriots. What they do, he would go up and down the street looking for a piece of paper fluttering in the breeze, which is a bill of the rent or his debts that he is not able to pay for his cottage. And he would quietly take it off and go and make a payment. And also quietly come back and nail it or stick it to the door of the tenant again. Can you imagine the joy and excitement and happiness of the poor debtor in the morning opening the door and discovering that instead of a condemnation document, he gets a receipt that is paid in full. The parallel with our salvation is very obvious. By dying on the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid the debt that you and I could not pay. By dying on the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid the creditor as it was on our behalf. That act of Christ has given us the double. In Jesus Christ, our shame is hidden. He has folded that offensive document of a broken law and treats those who accept the double as they have never sinned. Communion service reminds us that for those of us who are unable to pay our debts of sin, God has provided Jesus Christ on our behalf. And he is the most precious gift that we can ever receive. Sometimes we tend to stay away from the communion service. We feel that we are inadequate, that we are unworthy to take part in it, that we are not good enough to participate in it. But that's what the communion service is for. For those of us who messed up our lives, for those of us who are fallen short of God's law, who committed so many sins that we can't even comprehend that God would ever forgive us. But if we come with humility, with humbleness, and confess truly our sins, it says he's willing to forgive us and give us the double in Jesus Christ. Communion service reminds us about our humanity, about our frailty, our weaknesses, and our brokenness. But at the same time, it points to the one whose sacrifice on the cross has given us the double. So this morning, I would like to ask you how much you owe. And would you be willing to let him take care of it? What God said to ancient Israel, he says to us today. From the heart full of love and compassion, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. As we prepare our hearts for communion service, remembering what God has done for us, I hope that each one of us has that assurance that our sins are forgiven and find the strength and desire to forgive one another. Jesus, after washing his disciples' feet, it says in Mark 13, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Through the Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the double in Jesus Christ, forgiving our sins when we confess them to you. And this morning, we open our hearts for your presence. Lord Jesus, come and live in us. Through your Holy Spirit, guide and lead us and help us to realize the need of your forgiveness and to be willing to receive it and share with others around us. Be with us in a special way as we enter this blessed holy service. In your precious name we pray. Amen.